Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention as the Apostle Paul writes to us about that first gift that we unwrap through our Savior who has come to us in Luther's hymn, as Luther says, from heaven above. And that is the gift of hope. We read in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Inside of all of us is a feeling, better yet, a conviction, that this is not all there is. That there is something more, something better. The Christian apologist C.S. Lewis gave it this German name, Sehnsucht. Sehnsucht means a longing, a strong desire for what we do not yet have, but know that it must be out there. In this section of his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul adds his inspired word that this is indeed true of all of us, and even creation itself. He writes that creation waits in eager expectation. Even the created universe is looking for something better. Now for us, that longing can fill our hearts in times of sickness, in times of fear or deep disappointment. In those times, we Christians long for what is better. We long for something better. We're not surprised then at the Apostle Paul's words as he wrote, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." For both Paul and for us, present suffering and what is coming in the future that is better, the glory that will be revealed in us, are both realities. The latter is better by far. The eternal glory that will be revealed in us. That present suffering, what we have here and now, is only a shadow of what at one time was the perfection of creation. It is only a shadow of what will be, and that will be the perfection of our eternal life in heaven. What we are enduring right now in our present suffering, we could call the in-between. We're in between the perfect that was, and the perfect that will be. The creation that God made in perfection, after Adam and Eve brought death and decay down upon themselves by their disobedience of His will, our Lord subjected the rest of creation to frustration. And that word that's here in English, frustration, has the idea of an aimlessness, of a losing one's purpose. It's the fact that the earth is no longer how God made it. The earth is no longer why God made it. Because all of that changed when God frustrated or placed that judgment down upon all the created universe after Adam and Eve brought it down upon themselves and us, their children. At the same time, both we and creation have hope. Hope is an eager expectation of things going back the way they were in the future. We look forward to that eternal glory. We look forward to that perfection that Adam and Eve had before they fell into sin. The perfection that the universe had before God so frustrated it in His judgment. Anticipating something more and better, we wait. And we imagine. And we have faith. And we build character. Those really are the components of Christian hope. Waiting, imagining, believing, building character. That's what the Apostle Paul writes to us about. As we hope for our final freedom to obtain that eternal glory that will be revealed in us, we do not have it yet. If we already had it, Paul says, we wouldn't hope. Because if you have what you want, who would hope for it? No one. So God, while we are in this world, while we wait, God gives us that hope of what is coming, for sure. Our hope, though, it's not a passive thing. It's not like we're sitting around the doctor's office, thumbing through some magazine, not really even paying attention to what we're looking at. It's not sitting around an airport, twiddling our thumbs, walking up and down the aisle, nothing to do, nowhere to go, just sort of passively being there. Our hope is a very active waiting. Paul compares it, in fact, to childbirth. Childbirth is an active waiting. It's a fight. It's a fight against pain. It's a fight against anxiety. And it's a fight against time itself. And then when the baby comes, then there is that joy. What was hoped for, what was waited for in that active fight is now there in its fullness. Our hope is an active fight. It's an active wait as members of the church militant. It's our waiting as the church, the fighting church, waiting for Jesus Christ to reveal Himself again and take us into glory. Hope means that time is passing and we must wait. But wait for what? What are New Testament Christians waiting for? that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Our hope is our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We're already the adopted children of God, but we have a greater adoption, a greater redemption when Jesus returns. I compare it to when Nan and I adopted our two oldest children. From the minute we had their picture and we knew their name, in our hearts, we adopted them. They were ours. 6 months after they came, we took them to a judge and we adopted them. Then they became ours bodily, physically. And so here Paul is writing about our adoption, our redemption, not just in hope, but physically, bodily, totally, completely, when he returns and raises us from the dead and takes us physically to the new heaven and the new earth. All of that will be ours at the return of Jesus Christ. So whatever we know now, and we know a lot through the gospel, we know a lot under the cross of Christ, we know a lot in our baptisms, in the Lord's Supper, about freedom and about glory and about being God's children and about having redeemed bodies. We know something about all of those things, but it pales in comparison to what we are hoping for, to what we fully expect is coming. And so we wait. We wait patiently. We wait securely. We wait covered with Jesus' blood and righteousness, as we just sang in our hymn. While we wait for that wonderful day we cannot see with our eyes, Paul says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. But Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Remember to whom he spoke those words? It was Thomas, after he saw him and touched him. And Jesus says, you believe in me because you've seen me. You have faith in me because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe. And so one of the elements of hope is not only waiting, but it's believing. It's trusting, relying on God's promises to be certain. When you and I believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have that solid foundation. The confidence, faith is, the writer to the Hebrew defines as the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Faith and hope are partners. In fact, real hope must build on true faith. And faith, true faith, builds on Christ. Faith says to hope, we know this isn't all there is. We know there's something better. And God has promised that that is coming. And that promise works faith in our hearts so that we believe it. For in this hope, we were saved. In this hope, in the context of having that hope of being eternally with God, is the reason that God saved us. It's the essence of being saved, is having this hope to be with God in the future. Faith says, we're missing something right now. That's not all there is. God has promised more and better, and he has given us the Holy Spirit as the first fruits, promising us. Remember, the first fruits were God's guarantee that there was more crop coming. God has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to believe and know that there's more coming. And we hope for that as we wait and as we believe, and yes, even as we imagine. For now, you and I, as Jesus told Thomas, are not able to really see Jesus. We aren't able to see our full adoption as his children or the redemption of our bodies. And so we can really imagine some things. Now, I don't mean that we can imagine fanciful and groundless ideas about what Jesus looked like, what heaven and hell, where they are, or what they look like, or how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. I don't mean using my imagination at the command of my human reason and misdirected biblical interpretation so that I find all kinds of things in the Bible that aren't there, particularly in Revelation, upon which I lay over my preconceived ideas about things. But this is what we can imagine. What it's going to be like without our present sufferings. What it's going to be like to have all glory revealed in us. What it's going to be like to no longer be tempted to sin. To no longer feel guilty. To no longer have to suffer the limitations of an aging body. Or to watch ourselves or our loved ones deteriorate and decay into death. We certainly can't imagine what the blessings of heaven are going to be like as God has spoken to us and revealed those things to us in the Holy Scriptures. God has given us many, many true pictures of things. For example, like through Isaiah, also in the book of Revelation, when you understand prophecy, when you let the Bible speak to you rather than trying to put your own understanding onto it. And there's one final aspect of hope that is important, and that's character building. And while Paul doesn't mention it specifically here, he mentioned it a little bit earlier in Romans chapter 5. He said, we also glory in our sufferings, although he ties it together here with our present suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Suffering over time works perseverance and stamina, always in connection with being in God's Word. It is God's Word that strengthens my faith in suffering. But my suffering does help me build character and build stamina as I place myself under the providential hand of God. And in that process, as we hope, as we wait, as we believe, as we imagine the glory that's coming, as part of that hope, God builds our character. Think of Paul, when God didn't take away his thorn in the flesh. And Paul said, if that's what God wants, that's his will. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So part of that hope that we have is even using and God enabling us to use even the results of sin in our lives as a way of building Christian character and Christian stamina and the ability to endure that present suffering that we must go through while we wait and while all of creation waits for that day when the children of God will be revealed publicly for all to see. God gives us time, imagination, faith, and even character through hardship. And these all come together in our hope. Just recently, a famous Hoosier passed away by the name of Florence Henderson. I read an interesting article about her. Someone asked her once about her life. And apparently, she had a rather dark and difficult life in poverty and with some parental issues and a lot of different sad and harmful things in her life. And someone asked her, well, how were you able to still stay so positive? How were you able to go on? And her answer was, I always had hope. You and I always have hope. Not a wing and a prayer, but hope. Solid hope built on Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross is our hope. His power is our hope. His love, His wisdom, His victory over over death is our hope. The certainty of His promises, His constant presence as Savior King give us hope. And this hope, Paul added in Romans 5, does not put us to shame. Amen.